Let's open this meeting with a moment of silent meditation. Use it as you wish. We'll follow it with a serenity prayer. Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Our 11th tradition states our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. If there are any members of the press present, you may obtain information at the Unity Weekend Registration Desk, located in the Palm Court. No photographs, please. This meeting is being taped, so please come up and speak directly into the microphone. Who is an addict?
Hi, everybody. I'm Lenny Kay, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Lenny.
Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death.
Thank you, Lenny. What is the NA program?
I'm Grace, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Grace.
What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership: the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promise to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting, because we only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you, Grace. Why are we here?
Hey, everybody, I'm an addict. My problem is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide, but addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
How it works, part one.
Hi, everybody, I'm Mike. I'm an addict. How it works.
Hi, Mike.
If you want, we have to offer, and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. Name's John.
Hi, John.
Sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. With these, we're well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society and everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take that first drug. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and a thousand never enough. Put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused the great maniacs to relapse. Before coming to NA, we often viewed alcohol separately. We cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug where people with the disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jetty, I'm an addict.
Hi, Eddie.
The keeping we have only with vigilance and justice. Freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps. So freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
I'd like to thank everybody for reading. My name's Bill. I'm an addict from Gainesville, Florida.
Hi, Bill.
Karen called me up the other night and told me what meetings were available for Chair and Sharon. And I volunteered our guest tonight, Joseph P. from Memphis, for gratitude. First listened to Joseph in Memphis, and I said, well, he's as crazy as I am. And knew I had something to learn from him. He's a spiritual man, and I love him. Joseph from Memphis. He's here to help you.
Thanks, Bill. I am an addict from Memphis, and my name is Joseph.
Hi, Joseph.
Hi.
Well, I'm here because he volunteered me, and I've been taught, and I continue to just learn to say yes when asked to do something for the fellowship and for another recovering addict. And I have yet been asked to do anything that's against the principles that I've developed here, because I had no principles and morals before I got here, and I've never been asked to do anything that's illegal. So I'm just in the habit of saying yes when asked to do something. And for that, I'm very thankful and grateful today. I don't know, gratitude, what is it? I didn't really have to think about this meeting and how to share, what to share, because by being here is gratitude. My gratitude speaks when I care and share with others in a way, and that's action. You know, as my past, talk is cheap, but action is being here at this convention and being at the meeting and not isolating in the room. It's positive action. That's how I show my gratitude of what's so been so freely given to me. Gratitude, what is it to me, is showing up at a meeting most every night and being there for me and getting excited about being a part of a newcomer that walks into the meeting for their first meeting. I can't experience that gratitude and show how I am so appreciative of what I've been so freely given if I'm not there to see that person and give them a hug and instill in them that there's hope. You never have to use again a day at a time. And my gratitude shows, and what it is to me is when I don't unplug my phone at night and I answer that phone in the middle of a shower or in the middle of the night when I'm asleep and have to get up early. Sometimes my thoughts go through my head, well, I don't want to answer it, but I always pick it up and answer it. That's gratitude for me. That's how I show it. It doesn't matter if anybody else ever knows about that. It's important that I know, because I have to live with myself. It's kind of like that just for today. You do something for someone and not be found out about it today. And if you're found out about it, it doesn't count. You have to do something else. That's gratitude for me, that I can show myself how I'm growing and how I'm changing. That's what the steps mean to me today. They're not about using drugs or not using. To me, the steps are about change, how I can change my life and change my attitude. And they're action-oriented, just like gratitude is action-oriented rather than just a word or a feeling. I can be grateful for things, but my gratitude I have to show it. Loving, caring, non-sensuous hugs, answering the phone, being at a meeting. My example was one of participating to show my gratitude, showing up at committee meetings that I... area and regional and subcommittee meetings and where I don't even vote, just showing up to be another clean attic in the room. That's what's most important to me today. It's not so much what other people's words are or are not, because sometimes I have a short attention span. I can lose track of what someone's talking about, or I may not agree with them, or I just don't hear it. And I'm probably other people look at me like that. But what is important today, and that's why an attic clean a day or a year or whatever is so important, is that just being another clean attic in the room, that power of example, that we're not alone. My example is different than... my clean date is June of 79. So I'm coming up on a birthday, a day at a time, next month. And... sometimes I look around the room in meetings and there, you know, most people with 3 or 4 years clean are not in the meetings on a regular basis. And so I'm to give another example, which doesn't make that example right or wrong, but my example is that even when you've been clean for a few years, you're still in the room making meetings and making coffee and cleaning up after the meeting. That's the kind of example that I like to be, one of action and growth and ongoing recovery in the way that I've been taught it. I just visited in California at the World Service Conference, and I went out early and stayed 2 or 3 days with my first sponsor, Chuck S. And the 15th of this month, a day at a time, he'll be coming up on 25 years clean. And that's a quarter of a century of not taking nothing, and that's real special. And he still goes to meetings several times a week and is involved in area stuff and regional stuff and world stuff. That's an example I look at, because he has taught me a lot about gratitude, of just showing up and being there, being another clean attic in the room, of that power of example. And he, like myself, sometimes our words turn people off or may intimidate people or hurt their feelings or whatever. But that's why I keep coming back and keep sharing and showing up where I can get better and I can learn to communicate what's been given to me in a positive and a loving and a caring way. that doesn't hurt someone's feelings or make them mad or intimidate them. And that's where I can keep learning, is how to communicate my spirit in a better way and to show my gratitude. Sometimes I can't do it with my words, but I do try to share it with my hugs. And loving, caring, non-sensuous hugs. When I first came, my first convention was in the World Convention, June of 79 in Atlanta. And I never, to touch, to me, was always a physical, violent thing to hurt someone or a sexual thing. People down there would come up and hug you and grab you, and they wouldn't let go of you like I do some people around here, and sometimes Yankees up here don't know how to hug. They want to get away and, you know, one arm you and all that kind of stuff. So I spent most of my time up in the room freaking out, wondering what all these people were about. They wouldn't let go of you. So I'd go around and pace up in the room and smoke cigarettes and get back down downstairs, and someone else would hug me, and I'd freak out again because I was very insecure sexually and a lot of other confused in a lot of other ways, because I was just a few months clean then. But I learned that's how I was brought up on the NA, caring and sharing the NA way, is loving, caring, non-sensuous hugs, and that's what I have to offer a lot of times, and that's spiritual. Gratitude for me, what is gratitude for me in another way? It's giving our newcomers a break. I was told early on is you gotta not take a newcomer's money, and you gotta stay out of their pants. You gotta give them a break to grow up and stay clean, and like myself, learn to show and communicate love and care without getting that thing between our legs involved. To continue that being a whore, trying to prove I'm a man, or if you go to bed with me, you like me, or I like you, that kind of thing. I don't have anything to prove today, and that was a lesson I learned very early on. I did my suggestion. I did a year and a half of celibacy when I first got clean. I was ready to get to know me and to follow some suggestions and to grow up and to give other people a break and learn what respect is. And I can give that today. I don't make an exception on that with newcomers today. Newcomers, someone to me, is someone with a minimum of a year and a half clean. Maybe they have to have more time, I don't know, but that's a newcomer to me. And so I respect that, and I like to give newcomers a break in that way. And give myself a break, and continue to have some self-respect, and have some integrity in me, and some principles and some morals, as I see them today, that I never have. That's gratitude, and that's what I try to offer people that I talk to over the phone and at conventions, in my home group, and other meetings. There are many examples this program has to offer. That doesn't make other examples of people that. That doesn't mean that they have less gratitude or less recovery if they have different views on trying to get every newcomer in bed, or going to bars and concerts, or going to other fellowships, or whatever else. That means that's just a different example. I can't do those things successfully and grow up and change and become more of a full person that I never have been before if I do those things. I have a lot of gratitude in my heart today for people that taught me that. I used to be very critical and judgmental of people that hit on newcomers, that went to bars and concerts and hung out with other negative things. Until I realized I got help with that, and someone told me, maybe you wish that you could do those kind of things. And maybe he told me, maybe you're like me, that you can't do those things and successfully grow and change and stay clean and become a more of a spiritual person. And that really helped me a lot, to realize that maybe other people can stay clean and do things that I used to do in my past, and I can't do those things and grow spiritually and much less stay clean. So that was a big relief that I realized I couldn't do certain things in my life that I did in my past and continue to grow spiritually. But other people can. And I know that for a fact with people with long periods of time clean. Their example is they can do certain things like that, and they still don't take nothing. And that's the bottom line. Everybody's welcome here, and our only requirement is desire not to take nothing, prescribed or otherwise, legal or otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that's the message that has saved me time and time again, is that my total abstinence, my clean time, in my gut. When all else fails, other people, my form of prayer, meditation, or quiet time, reading the basic text, going to meetings, being a hopeless depressive as I am, hanging on to it's not okay to take anything has gotten me over many an emotional hump. And I'm grateful for this fellowship. You know, we may not agree on what sponsorship's about, how many meetings to go to, bars or concerts, hitting on newcomers, what literature to read or not to read. None of those things. But the bottom line here is we don't take nothing. And that's real spiritual to me. That's unique to any other organization or fellowship that I've ever known about and gone to. I guess the closest I've come to physical relapse is being a hopeless depressive and thinking I can't make it, and life is really a pain, it's not worth living, and isolating in my home. And some days, even with a few years clean, all I could do is to get up out of bed and take a shower and shave and go to the meeting and come back home and get in bed again. But it was the action of built in of going to meetings was so strong that action kept me surviving my own emotions, and then the crisis passed, and the emotional dilemma passed, and so the action of going to meetings and not taking nothing has allowed me to be here today. I have a lot of medical MD friends in Memphis, and I'd go to them at certain times and just said I just can't go on and on. They would say, well, whatever you want, we'll give you. You can name it. Anything you want, you can have. You may have a chemical imbalance, and we may have to treat you chemically. But we're not going to make that decision for you. We're not going to be responsible for your using. They wouldn't make the decision, and I wouldn't make the decision. They would laugh, and I would cry. And I'd go back to the steps and my sponsor and calling people and meetings, and I survived my own emotions that way without taking anything. And I came into this program and got clean on psychotropic drugs and other things. But so I know it's possible. And I have a lot of gratitude for my sponsor and other people that have shown me that way, the way of the steps and spiritual principles and meetings and faith in human beings. To survive your own emotions and learn to live life and accept life. A big tool I'm working on these days is acceptance without agreement. Accepting of what people do and what life has to offer without agreeing with it and liking it. And having peace and calmness in my heart. That gives me gratitude in my gut and in my head, where I can have that sense of calmness and okayness. I can only get that from you people, because my concept of a higher power is just the people in this room, a group of drug addicts. That's what God means to me, G-O-D, good orderly direction. I take it no further than that. I'm a very simple person that's how it's been worked for me for almost 7 years now. My form of prayer, meditation, and quiet time is thinking pleasant thoughts about people I know. That gives me a calmness. I can do it all day long, any place, is think positive thoughts about you people, in general and specifically. And that really gives me a lot of calmness of soul and a lot of oneness with the universe. And out of the hectic activities of the day, real or imagined in my own mind. And I have gratitude for that's been given to me by y'all in this program. And this program allows me to have that concept of a higher power, or a God of my own understanding that way. And that's so special here. And I defend up against the wall for anybody to have their own concept and their own beliefs, as long as it works for them, because everything's right. There's a billion people that believe every way possible in this world, and everybody's right. And that's a lot of growth in me from being a very biased, prejudiced, insecure person and judgmental. So this program has allowed me that freedom and flexibility to have this belief, and that's what gratitude is for me. And it's exciting. It keeps me excited about my recovery, about life, and about meetings, about newcomers, and everything. That just excites me. Keeps me right up to the moment. Helps me to be able to like reality and exist in it, because life is not fair a lot of times. And I've had a lot of emotional dilemmas and financial setbacks, and I've had death in my family and death in other loved ones. Someone that's very, very close in my family today is in their active addiction, on the threshold of physical death, but it's nothing I can do except let them know there's another way. They're deep in denial. You know, a lot of Egyptian blood running in their veins. But that's okay. They're about as close as a family member can get. That's okay. I mean, if they die, they die. You know, just like anybody else. There's hope, and it's a choice. And I have to go on and be a part of the living, and part of freshness, and people growing, and bright new spirits of change, and the twinkling in the eyes, and the smiles on the face, and out of doom and gloom whenever it comes. And that's what I have to offer anybody on a daily basis, and that's how I show my gratitude. And that's what gratitude is to me, is that kind of action. Meeting someone at the meeting when I talk to them on the helpline and putting them on my couch rather than send them off to an institution I'll see when you get out. Taking care of a sick addict emotionally and physically. That's my gratitude today. It's action. So that's what it is of me. And I'm going to... I get so excited about life and recovery and what it's done for me. Through my own desire to take the steps and keep going to meetings and not isolate. That's a part of it, is my own desire that I could somehow get diarrhea of the mouth. But I do care. So we're going to open this up. I'm going to first ask Bill to share a little bit about what this means to him. And then we'll open it up for other people to come and share what gratitude means to you. And we'll ask anyone to come up and sit in these chairs that they wanted on tape, and it doesn't pick up in the back or anywhere, even on the front row. So thanks for allowing me to be a part of your convention and be a part of this meeting and be a part of your life. And I really appreciate that, and I'm grateful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Joseph. My name's Bill. I'm an addict. I went to my first NA meeting about 40 full moons ago. And I weighed 158 pounds. I had a pair of crutches, one tennis shoe, and a bicycle. That's all I owned in the world. People came up and they hugged me. The guys hugged me, and I thought they were lighting their loafers, you know, something. I mean, right here, you know. And they told me they loved me. And I thought they wanted something from me. All I had was about 26 cents in my pocket, and I knew they didn't want that, so I figured they wanted my crutches or my bicycle. 3 months later, somebody stole my bicycle. And I said, see, I knew what they wanted. But, They told me to keep coming back, and it's the first time in my life people wanted me to come back. I was defeated. In desperation, I sought help from others in Narcotics Anonymous. And I firmly believe that the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. It took me a long time to get comfortable with myself and to start to love myself. First year or two, I want to tell everybody I loved you, you know, I love you and I love you. I didn't even love me, so there's no way I could love you. It tells me in this program that we keep what we have by giving it away. I used to get depressed a lot, like what you're sharing about, Joseph. My first sponsor, he would make me write a gratitude list, and I'd want to ball it up and tell him where he could shove that gratitude list. But whenever I'm depressing myself, you know. I'm doing that to myself. First thing when I write a gratitude list is I'm alive, you know. We are miracles. This program, it works everywhere I go. I'm not alone. My mother died about 6 weeks ago when I was going to the bus convention. And I tried to be a, old tape clicked in, I tried to be a macho man and hold it in, you know, for 4 days. And not tell anybody. I went to a meeting and finally shared it in front of like 400 men. And by the time I got through, I was crying. The whole audience was crying. The guy that was doing the translation for the deaf was crying. And I know that no matter what happens in my life, I have a choice today. I don't have to pick up. You know, there is hope through this program. Now I feel like I'm an apprentice human being, you know, and every day it's you know, just for today I don't have to use, and it gets better. As my disease is progressive, so is the recovery. This is the only thing that's really ever worked in my life, Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I used to try things, I'd go for a while, I'd do this fad or that fad, and it only lasted for a little while, but this recovery is working. And it's amazing, it works through desperation, you know. Through resistance and pain, I start growing. I know Joseph shared earlier that he doesn't believe that you have to have pain to grow. I've seen in my past history, since coming into this fellowship, most of my growth has been through pain. And it's always that most of that pain comes from resistance to working the steps, to taking guidance, to seeking suggestions. First sponsor I had, I always wanted him to give me advice, tell me what to do, and he wouldn't do it. Am I telling a lie? Is that why the candle's going?
So. Oh.
No, and he would never do it. I'm eternally grateful for it now, because I just wanted him to take the blame for everything when it didn't turn out right. And he wouldn't never give me advice. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for this fellowship. Usually when I share my story and I start talking about gratitude, I start crying, because I remember how it was. And just for today, we don't have to pick up even if our ass falls off. You know, there is a way out of that insanity, and it's Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you, and I love you.
Thanks, Phil.
I'm an addict, and my name is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, and I'm sorry I got in here a little late, but I feel so calm now. It's so funny. We drove over from New York, and
welcome.
Thank you. And I'm really happy to be here, and I feel sort of centered, and that's what Narcotics Anonymous gives me, and I identify with Bill, and when he said he remembers, I remember day in and day out what it was like that last year, you know. I've been coming around for a little while now, and I can't seem to remember what happened the years before that. I remember before I picked up, I was full of fear, and I was totally uncomfortable being in my own skin, and about 6 months clean in this fellowship, I started to feel that overwhelming fear all over again, and I didn't know what the heck to do about it. And I kept coming to meetings, and I kept sitting on my hands, and eventually I raised my hand and I shared. And you know, one addict helping another is without parallel. Someone reached out, and finally I accepted the help that they had been giving me from the time that I came into these rooms. And I started going to step meetings, and I started working the steps in order for me to live my life again. And it's just opened up all kinds of doors. I'm a little fearful at this point, because I get intimidated when I come up. And it's nice because it's dark and I can't see the whites of your eyes, so it's like easier. But that overwhelming fear that I had when I came into the fellowship is gone. I have more faith into my life, so that I take that risk. And when I'm feeling fear in my life, I ask someone who seems to look like they feel a little more secure than I do. And that's usually everybody around me when I'm feeling fearful. And they help me out. You know, I came here and I couldn't get exactly what I wanted. You know, I wanted a room for one night, because I can only stay one night. And, you know, I had to settle for a room down the street, which is fine, but I got extremely angry and I got resentful, and I said, excuse my language, fuck Jersey, and you know, and I just like went off on this tangent, you know. And I, in recovery, this is the first time I've ever felt this way, I have to honestly say, about Narcotics Anonymous, about a convention, about an area, about anything. I was just totally out the box, but my will had come back into play here. And the better my life gets as a result of Narcotics Anonymous and my higher power, somehow the more control I think I have over everything, you know. And if things don't go my way, it's fuck everything and run. And that's not how it works. And all I had to do was go to the opening meeting. I calmed down some, you know, a little bit. And then I went to a marathon meeting, and here I am in this meeting, and I feel centered. I feel okay. I have that faith back. It doesn't matter where I stay, you know, just as long as Narcotics Anonymous comes with me with wherever I go. And as long as I stay clean and don't pick up, that's what it will be like. And thanks a lot for letting me share.
Thank you. Let me get a hug before you go.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lenny Kay. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hi, Lenny.
Joseph, hey, you got a beautiful message there. You seem like a real beautiful person, you know. To me, anyhow, that's what I feel. Like I said, I'm grateful. About a few days ago, I was standing on a corner, crossing a street, and all of a sudden, I got hit by a car. You know. And this sucker kept going. But, you see, I'm clean. I was clean that day, clean today by the grace of God. At that time, I was spun around on the ground, but I looked at his plate and it stuck in my mind. In the past, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't remember nothing. All right? So I did what was right. I went to the police. All right? And then I carried it after that. Now, this whole time, I had thoughts running through my mind. All right, it was like my addiction. I was very violent, and I had some sick thoughts. The police actually showed me the teletype, like the readout of their name, where they live. Let me tell you, if I was still out there, I had thoughts in my mind what I wanted to do to this person, because they kept going. That sucker tried to kill me. He tried to kill me in my mind. He didn't stop. He kept going. Now, it took me a little while. I had every excuse in the world to go out and pick up. All the excuses you want to think of. I'm in a lot of physical pain today. Okay? I've got damage to my neck. I've got damage to my lower lumbar spine. All right? But I ain't taking nothing for it. You know? That's it. That's the bottom line. I don't take nothing for it. Thank God my personal physician... All right, works a good program, but still, it'd be my choice. But that thought of using something didn't come into my head. You understand? It did not come into my head. No matter how much pain I had, it ain't worth it to me to pick up a drug. You know, to use something to escape, to get out of the pain, the physical pain, the emotional pain, the thoughts that I was having, to just get out of it all. You know. It wouldn't be worth it, you know? So, make a long story short, I feel that the reason why I'm grateful, and I have a lot of gratitude, not only for the program of Narcotics Anonymous, but you see, is because God, my higher power, I'm here for a reason. He saved my life. He put the stop on this person. He said, you can't take him today. You're here. He's here for a reason. You understand me? You follow what I'm saying? He's here for a reason. And that reason is today. Is to carry the message that there is recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. Right? Because I'm living proof. I'm living proof. I'm a miracle. Now, I get gratitude out of 12-step work. Like I was told by the person that runs the show with the tapes, I taped the last session, all right? He told me it's like 12-step work. Because you're reaching out to somebody out there. Somebody's going to listen to this tape and get something out of it. You know? That's how I feel. I believe that. That I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to help somebody. And that's going to make me feel better inside. That's going to make me grow. You know, because I didn't give a shit about nobody in my past. You know, that's how I was. I was cold and violent and all that, and the whole nine yards. Today, I care about me and other people. I can love. All right? I can share my experience, my strength, and my hope with a suffering addict and hope, right? And just show him what it can be like, you know, what I'm like now. Tell him what I was like, you know, how I got there and what I'm like now. He can see for himself. And for me, that makes me feel good, you know? It gives me, makes me feel grateful that I can do this. I'm alive today. I feel alive. And I thank God for this every single night before I go to sleep. And I ask him to help me stay clean for the following day. And you know something? He listens. He listens. Listens to my prayers. I'm in touch with my higher power. I feel this helps me stay clean. The program, the steps, the fellowship keep me clean. I keep me clean with their help. This is what I, it's not a matter of me needing them. I want them. I chase them like I used to chase the cop man. I'd chase them. I'll chase the program. And you know, it all pays off because I feel good inside. I'm Lenny, you know? I'm me today. I can look in the mirror and like what I see. Makes me feel good inside, you know? And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful to my higher power, you know, that he spared my life. And I didn't have a thought of picking up. Didn't run through my damn head. Till a little bit later. I could have done, you know, I had them sick thoughts, you know. I still get them. But I pray on them. I choose to pray on them, you know. Obsessions, nutso thoughts, stuff like that. But I don't act on them today. You see, I'm changing. I've changed. All right, as long as I follow the program and I work it to the max as much as I can, the best of my ability, I'll change. And it's going to be positive because everything in my past is negative. You know, nothing but hurt, pain, sorrow, you know, who needs it? I choose not to live that way today. I'm grateful for that. See? These conventions bring me in touch with myself. They help me grow, you know. I'm grateful for these conventions. See, today I can make friends. In the past, I didn't have no friends. I didn't know what the word friend meant. No idea, no conception, you know. Friend. Keep dreaming, you know. But today I have friends. I'm grateful for that. I can call somebody up on any given day, at any given time, don't matter when, and tell them what's bugging me, share something, you know, or they can call me, doesn't matter what day, what time of the day or night. See, I got something to give today. That's how I feel. I have something to give away that might help somebody out. It might save somebody's life. Alright? And for me, it makes me grateful, gives me gratitude, you know. It might save somebody's life. And that's what I'm about today, you know. That's what Lenny's about, saving a life. Not concerned on how he's going to take it from you, if he can, you know. I'm not about that shit no more. I'm about me. I'm about living Narcotics Anonymous. I'm about getting involved. I'll take anything, any chairperson, steward. It don't matter, you know. Make the coffee, clean up the ashtray. It don't matter. I'll take anything. Keeps me involved. Keeps me clean. Helps me make friends. People get to know me. You know, they know me in a positive sense today. And this helps Lenny grow. This helps me grow. I still admit that I have my other addictions, you know, sick shit, you know, like TV. I watch TV. The whole house could burn down. I still watch TV. I'm working on that. I'm changing that, you know. And I'm growing. That's all I've got, and thanks a lot.
Thanks, Lenny.
Thank you.
Easy, my back's a little screwed up. I can't bend over, man.
Sue, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
And I'm really glad it's dark in here so you guys can't see me. It's like on a TV show when an addict talks behind a closed, you know, thing. What's going on with me? I'm grateful. But before, when I came in this room, I wasn't too grateful. I was feeling sorry for myself. took me 3 years to get a year together in this program, and that's hard work, and I'm celebrating it this weekend. Okay. I'm really sad because, you know, I'm grateful. I was thinking, you know, what am I grateful for? Why do I have gratitude? You know, I'm grateful that I have a family that still loves me, even though they give me tough love, and I don't really like that too much. And I'm grateful for the people in this fellowship, because you were there when I was all alone in my room getting high, all by myself, feeling sorry for myself. And I'm telling you, I was like the queen of isolation when I was out there. The reason, you know, I even started getting high and drinking is because I was involved with incest as a kid from age 5 to age 10. And then right after that, I picked up at 11. And any relationship I ever got into, it was like I was talked into something I didn't want to do. I was manipulated, and I just followed along with it. And that's the pattern I took all throughout my addiction. I never lived my life for me. I lived my life through a man, for a man, just to feel like I was wanted, because I felt like a piece of shit. And for all my life, like, I didn't have me. And this weekend, I'm kind of getting like a spiritual awakening, just seeing it's for me, because I was hurting really bad before, like I said. And I went and talked to somebody, and they just listened, and they just heard me dump my garbage. And in my recovery, I'm taking the same kinds of patterns as I did in my addiction, and it's really getting to me. I'm grateful for the rooms now, because what I've gotten in these rooms were love and caring and sharing and being able to dump my problems. And now I could give it back to the newcomer. I could give hugs away, and I could give him my phone number, give her my phone number, a girl. I kind of stick with the girls these days. And, you know, I read in this, I always share this at a meeting, I read in this literature that we have, it's a triangle of self-obsession, and I didn't understand one thing in that whole literature thing, except for the last line, and it said, "We must grow up or die." And that's what I have to do these days. I have to grow up, because I don't want to die, because I've come too far. And you know how sometimes people get butterflies in their stomach? I get crocodiles, because I can feel today. For all those years, I just numb myself out, and I didn't feel. And I'm grateful that I can have feelings today, too. Good, bad, or indifferent. And that's all I want to share. Thank you.
Thank you. Give me a good hug.
We love you.
I see a hand in the back. Anybody in the back with a hand?
I'm Michelle. I'm an addict.
Hi, Michelle.
Gratitude for me today is, I guess what it comes down to is being able to thank my higher power even when things aren't going my way. Because I always blame my higher power, you know, when things weren't going my way. And today, even though everything doesn't go my way, I still have plenty to be grateful for. And a lot of the last few months, I've had so much gratitude. It's been unbelievable, you know. It's springtime, and I've been seeing things that I've never seen before, you know. And just being able to do that is, it gives me an unbelievable feeling, you know. Gratitude for me is also, you know, being able to give a newcomer hope, you know, even when I feel down in the dumps or miserable. You know, because I know that even when things aren't going terrific, that I'm alive and I'm clean today. And I have a fellowship today that I could go to with anything. And it's wonderful for me. The whole idea of these candles. I was at I'm going to be going to college in September, and I was at a meeting last Saturday night, and the topic was gratitude. And I was really nervous about this meeting because it had to be perfect, because I was scared to death, because this was the only meeting I saw on the meeting list in the town where my college is going to be at. And I tried so hard. I mean, I prepared. I did everything I could, you know, so that I know I'm in an okay space when I go, because I'll be living there. And I went to this meeting, and I walked in, and I felt right at home. And I sat down, and the meeting was on gratitude, which is really appropriate because I had probably the most spiritual day that I ever had. And this was up in Hackettstown, so I was with somebody who I cared a lot about, who's also in the program, very spiritual the whole day, you know, just going from place to place, looking at all these beautiful things, you know, that I've never seen before. And it was a candlelight meeting on gratitude, and it just gave me this unbelievable feeling. You know, I loved it. And I wound up getting 23 contacts and found out that there's 7 meetings a week, NA, walking distance from the college, so I had a lot of gratitude. I'm grateful that I'm sitting up here right now because the first convention I went to, I've only been to 2 other conventions besides this one, and the first one I went to, I wanted to share so badly, you know, and I couldn't do it. There was something holding me back. I just couldn't get up here and do it. And, you know, I'm grateful that today I could help somebody else, you know, like, I don't remember his name, but somebody was up here sharing before about how, you know, he did the tape. And Earl told him that it was 12-step work because other people are going to hear it, you know. And I did that, and he told me the same thing. And that gave me gratitude, you know, that I'm not even directly doing something, you know, for somebody else, but I am, you know. Maybe for a lot of people, maybe for one person, you know. They'll get the benefit of hearing that. I don't know, this is outrageous, this whole convention and everything. I feel really good. When I was in Baltimore at the 6th East Coast Convention, that's when they started talking about this. And I was like, yeah, but I never thought it would happen, you know. And I wanted to get involved directly, you know, with the planning and everything. And it was just too out of reach for me then. My recovery during the first few months of that was real touch and go, you know, and I had to really concentrate on me. But there were a lot of other people who did do everything they could, and it's wonderful. It's outrageous. It's better than I thought it would be. I'm real grateful that I could stay up for this meeting because I'm exhausted. But I don't know, I just have a lot of gratitude today. I really do. I'm young, you know, and this program has given me my life back, you know, whereas I wouldn't see the age 20 if I stayed out there. And I have a whole wonderful life ahead of me. And I celebrated a year last week, and it was the most incredible year of my life, you know. I don't know, that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thank you. Joseph needs a hug.
Last year was kind of hard to talk about because I didn't have any. I mean, bottomed out with it. It's probably because I didn't ask anybody about it, and I didn't even want to know anything about gratitude. I was coming into the fellowship to stop using drugs, and that was it. But out in Pittsburgh, I think it was around October, somebody told me to write down a list, and you know, when I came in, I had like a few houses, a few cars, I had my family, and I'd hear people talking about how they lost everything, and it didn't mean anything to me. But tonight, I'd like to share about gratitude. One night, I was at my living room, and I had a little pile of Coke on the table, and I had a conference with it. And it went something like, either you're going to have to go or my family's going. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd rather have them. I met someone after I had a car accident that led me into AA, who had honesty in her eyes, and she directed me into NA. There's some gratitude for her. Tonight I'm glad that I didn't go off a roof in New York one night when they took me up there with the zip gun to the third floor to buy from them instead of where we were going. The day I came down from a cop spot in a gallery, and the cop was standing out in the hallway on the bottom landing with his gun out, and I'm glad that he wasn't a rookie and just panicked and shot me. That list that I made had something on it like love, health, the fellowship, hugs, and so many other things. You know, I just can't go over the list that precisely, I should say now. But it was funny. Money had moved all the way down to maybe near the bottom somewhere, where before it had been way up top. It was like an awakening for me. You know, I said, gee whiz, look at it. And I was happy with that list, a gratitude list. You know, Bill, I like to share this with you. I think it was in November, my grandfather died. And that next night I went to an NA meeting, or that same night, and the guy asked me to read just for today, you know. As I'm starting to read this thing, I start crying through it, because that day I had to depend on somebody from this fellowship, you know. That was in November. In December, my mother died. And Mother's Day, when I leave here, I'm going to the cemetery and put a flower on her grave. The gratitude from that part is, at the funeral, when we didn't have food and stuff, she found things to give to people, you know, when we did have food. And I'm saying, no, that's not the way to go. We might not have any the next day, so don't go and give it away. But she did. And at the funeral, there were people that I remember from when I was a kid then. And somebody said in a poem, an angel on loan, you know. And what gratitude to think that just maybe this higher power gave me an angel, and I didn't even know what it was, you know, and it was that close to me. Maybe he cared for me. There's a lot of gratitude in that, man. And I hope I shared it with you.
Yeah. So with NA, I made a ninth step with my mother before she did pass away, and I made some amends with it. Yes, sir.
How about right here, with the shiny eyes? Oh, those are glasses. Excuse me.
Okay. Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Oh, I'm a little nervous here. I felt that I had to talk. I had to share my gratitude. I have a lot of trouble with that sometimes. See, I have a tendency to forget. You know, drugs almost killed me. I got cleaned up 16 months ago, and you know, I really identify with what you were talking about with the phone. You know, I hear the phone ringing, I'm in the shower, I said let it ring. But you know, when I used the phone early on, people always picked it up. Didn't matter what kind of night, you know, they sounded a little groggy, they said, you know, keep talking till I wake up. And you know, I couldn't understand it then, but I understand it now. And it never fails. When I answer that phone dripping wet, there's somebody there that needs me. And, you know, I put in that effort and I feel great about it. You know, this fellowship, I'm so grateful for it. You know, driving up here from Brooklyn, we saw those little signs all along the road, N.A., and it was all over the place. You know, we didn't really know where we were going, but just seeing that sign, you know, it made me feel so at home, so part of something special. You know, so I never had anything positive in my life before, but, you know, now I do. And, you know, I hold on to it with all I have. I'm very involved in H&I in the Brooklyn area. I take a meeting into the VA hospital, and I get gratitude when I hear some of those people share that this is my sixth, this is my seventh time, my seventh detox. You know, I went once. And I got it. I don't know how I had as much denial as anybody. But I thank God that I got it because, you know, I don't know what would happen if I went out again. You know, and I carry the message as best as I can. And if I help one person, I could be grateful. And I get a lot of gratitude when I see those people at NA meetings on the outside. You know, one person walked in the rooms and into my life. About 4 or 5 months ago, you know, he came into the rooms and he was hurting. You know, drugs did a number on him. His addiction damn near killed him at that time, you know. And in this group, I was running an interim sponsorship program, and he came up to me and he scared me. He was in such bad shape, you know. I was all gung-ho on running this interim sponsorship program when it was easy, but this guy, you know, was really hurting, and I was taken aback, and, you know, I backed up a couple of steps, but somebody straightened me out, you know, somebody close to me, and says, look, you know, it's for whoever comes to you, and I hooked him up with a sponsor, you know, and this guy kept coming, you know, he didn't want to do any more pills, you know, he was in bad physical health. And his addiction did kill him. He died, but he died clean. And a bunch of NA people went down to the funeral, to the wake, and his family came up to them, and they said, are you people from NA? And they said, yeah. And they said, Tony, these were the happiest days, 43 days of his life. You know, he's never been happier, and the man died clean. And they were so happy to see us, and they were so grateful, you know. I have a hard time crying in recovery, but I cried when I heard that. I don't know what to say. I mean, I really thank God I'm here, and this fellowship is here for me, and to have people in my life. You know, I don't have to be alone. I don't have to. You know, I'm going through something right now. I'm learning, like this lady said before, I'm learning how to feel again. And some of the feelings that are coming up, I don't like. You know, a lot of anger towards my parents. And I used to just deny that. You know, I can't go through that pain of denying it anymore. And I let it come up. And, you know, I have you people and my sponsor and my higher power. They nurse me. They hold me through these times. And I really need that, you know, because I have to go through this. You know, because I want to change and I want to get better. I don't want to remain that same person. I firmly believe if I don't change, I'm going to go back out there. You know, there's too much pain in that whole life. I don't want to talk too long. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening to me.
Yeah, my name's Keith, and I'm an addict.
Okay.
I don't know, like, since I was, like, real little. You know, both sides of my family, like, were alcoholics, and it's like a hereditary or whatever they say, you know. And I had sick behavior patterns, you know. Already, when I was very small, you know. When I was 8 years old, like, you know what I mean? Like, I stole these pornographic books and shit, you know. From, like, you know, when I was little, you know. And I stole that shit, and I already had drinks and shit, you know what I mean? And just took that little, but I didn't become a bit addicted till I was maybe 9, you know. I have a thing with stuffing feelings inside of me, you know. Stuffing shit, you know. You know what I mean, there's something I stuff for a long time, you know. Nobody fucking knows, man, you know. It's just my higher power, you know. I was very sick, you know. You know what I mean? Like, I still kind of crazy shit. Like, fucking drugs made me, like, a sexual deviant and shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking my head up, you know? Like, you know, it's the, my addiction and shit, you know what I mean? I'm at a friend's house and shit. And this lady, you know, the fucking douche bottles, be drinking beer out of it and shit, you know? Real fucking nut stuff like that, you know what I mean? I was one of the fucking fruitcakes you see on the fucking L talking to themselves and shit. Fucking talking to the sidewalks, you know? That's what I was, you know? Something really hard for me to share. I never said anywhere, you know? I mean, my higher power, I never told my parents another fucking, another addict or meeting or even my sponsor, you know? I don't know, I just can't wait for a fourth step, you know, or whatever. I can't stuff it no more, you know what I mean? You know, I it's my past, you know? I'm not really sick anymore, not that sick, you know? You know what I mean? I ain't that bad, man. You know, I'm about close to normal now, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm getting there, you know? But I was 8 years old, you know what I mean? It's like, I was about to turn 9, I'm fucking doing shit, I was already fucking smoking pot, you know? And, butterflies, man, whoa. you know, I don't care what anybody thinks, you know what I mean? But, you know, drugs make you sick people, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things people do, and people might surprise some people, you know? But I have to get it out, man, you know? Like, when I was 9 years old, you know, I mean, me and my buddies, man. You know, we got fucking high, man. Never touched drugs before. Like, we were smoking pot, you know? Like, it's pornographic literature, you know? You know what I mean? And, like, fucking, like, stoned out of our minds and shit, man. Like, a fucking homosexual experience. You know? That's what addiction does to you, man. It's that crazy shit, man. I ain't gotta be like that no more. No, you know? All that bullshit, man. I don't fucking want it. I don't want to go back out there, man. I lose friends, man. I real fucking friends, man, that care now, you know? Or not just look at the fucking freak talking to himself. You know what I mean? Yeah, I won't be that no more, man. Yeah, I can't ever repay this program, you know what I mean? It's fucking nuts, man. You know, that's something I had to get out, you know? I can't stuff things, man. My head blows up. I don't want it no more, man. I have to be fucking, you know what I mean? I ain't gotta be that way, man. You know, I gotta be fucking perverted. I ain't gotta be fucking insane, you know? You know, I can't do it with all these people, man. You know, I love everybody, man, you know? I see people going out all the time, you know? Coming to the program. You know, I hurt, man, you know? This fucks me up, man, you know? You know, I had to get that out, man, because I couldn't stop that shit. You know what I mean? For fucking 5 years and shit, man. You keep stuffing shit, you know? I couldn't wait no fourth step or nothing, man. You know? You know, all that sick shit, man. I ain't got to do it no more, man. You know what I mean? I don't have insanity running through my head, you know? Like I used to. I don't know, man. I changed a lot, man. Like, people, you know what I mean? From what the fuck I was. And, you know, and after that shit, man, it's like, you know what I mean? Dude, I was fucking real vulgar towards women and shit like that, you know? You know what I mean? Just being like, you know what I mean? Like, I had to prove something now, you know what I mean? You know, I just, you know? Well, you know, some people might not be surprised, man. You know, they've done far worse, but, I just had to get that out because I couldn't stuff it no more, man. That's it.
Go ahead.
They have a right to be here.
We have a right to live and a right to love. To me, conventions are like a celebration of recovery, you know. We can come here and isolate, hide in our rooms, or we can come here and participate. You know, and this just shows me the program works. You know, we're only as sick as our secrets. And, you're welcome to share whatever you want to share about. Go ahead and fix some of that.
Yeah, I wanted to share a little something here about what Keith shared. And, you know, that's why I'm an addict. My name's Joseph. Everybody, and we're all welcome here, and it doesn't matter what drugs we used or didn't use, or what our sexual orientation is or isn't, what our deeds are in the present or the past, what is deviant or odd for one person is quite normal and okay for another person. And that's something I've learned and grown up about, and that's what honest sharing is about, and that's why an NA meeting is a meeting. The only requirement is desire not to use. That's why I think that special interest meetings lead to looking at our differences or our separatenesses rather than how we all are alike. If we can have honest sharing in a meeting like we all try to do, then that leads to someone else sharing honestly, and we can love and care about one another and not be judgmental or laugh or ha-ha or whatever, that everything is okay. And I really believe that as long as we're clean, we're not sick anymore. We're in the recovery process. We're recovering at different stages and different levels and different degrees. If you're clean, you're not sick. And I really believe that, to have more tenderness toward myself and to be able to think of others and whatever they're doing or not doing is okay, and they're recovering and changing at whatever rate and speed and whatever their needs are. And it's not my right to judge or to criticize or to condemn, even though I don't agree with some things and I agree with others, and some people don't agree with me and they agree with me in other ways. That's okay. That's what we're all about here. That's why we're not a quote-unquote a cult or anything. Everything's okay, and everything's right if it's okay with you in your heart. And everything is okay with me today for me to do, as long as it's not illegal, it doesn't break a law, and it doesn't hurt me or another human being. That leaves me a lot of groundwork and a lot of leeway. It also takes a lot of things out of my life that I used to participate in the past. That's growth for me. So, thanks. Okay. Right here. Hey, book. Oh, feel the power. No.
Stand by your candle.
Yeah. And if you really want to feel the power, put your hands behind the TV.
Oh. I'm an addict. I'm Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Keith, what you just shared is what I'm real grateful for. You know, there was so much stripped away from me in my active addiction, and stripped away from people that I loved. And I felt real compelled to have to say something tonight. Gratitude is having a place to come to where I can share anything and not feel that people are going to run out and laugh at me or make fun on me. And where I can let you know what I'm feeling so I don't have to keep those feelings in and think I'm such an awful person anymore. Gratitude to me means showing other people that I'm there for them like they were for me. Gratitude means staying up a little bit longer when I don't feel like, because somebody always did it for me. To me, gratitude doesn't mean any one special thing. It means what I do with my life is how I show what I'm grateful for. There are a lot of days where my life is real screwed up, and I don't act the way I want to act, but I'm still not acting anything like I used to act, you know, so there's gratitude even for that. You know, I'm grateful that today I can live, where all I wanted to do for a whole lot of years was, I just prayed so hard to die, and I never did, and I couldn't understand why God was so cruel to not let me just die, and today I can see why. I'm real grateful to be here and to be with people who can honestly share, and where I don't have to be afraid, and where I can learn to be me. I needed to share that. Thanks.
I love it.
In the back.
My name's John, and I'm an addict.
Hey, John. Hi, John.
And I traveled up from Pittsburgh, and I was just, first thing I'm grateful for is that, you know, my higher power, which I choose to call God, was, you know, give us the protection, you know, and security to make it, you know, this far to come to this convention. And I heard some real good things at this meeting. You know, I really needed a meeting. I didn't make a meeting today because, you know, trying to get it together to come up here. And, you know, I heard some real rigorous honesty. And, you know, them kind of meetings there, you know, bring the feelings out. They're the ones that help me because, you know, honesty is the antidote to our disease thinking. And, you know, it tells us that. Tells us that in our basic text. And you know, some of the other things I'm grateful for is you know, having a God in my life, and a sponsor, and being able to be willing and open-minded, and you know, honest. You know, honesty is, you know, really important. That's like, you know, one of the most important things for me. And it's just, you know, I'm so grateful that yeah, I don't have to take something today. You know, it's about not taking nothing and working the steps. You know, and going to meetings, no matter how much time. You know, with the program, it's given me a little over 9.5 months. And, you know, I was just, for a long time, say 15 years, you know, I popped pills and shot drugs and went to jail and, you know, did a lot of illegal shit. You know, it just made me and my life and my feelings and emotions and, you know, everything so unmanageable. I was just a total mess, you know, until one day. I'll never forget that first feeling, the first me when I said, hey, I'm an addict. You know, and people started hugging me. That feeling was like the world was off my shoulders. You know, and that's just what this program's given me, you know, chance to love and give some of it back. And, you know, Lenny touched me a lot, man. This meeting, I'm grateful, you know, I come to this meeting. Usually I'd be up there, you know, lusting away in a dance. You know, but, you know I needed a meeting, and, you know, I'm here for the right reasons. I try to be anyways, you know. And I'm grateful, you know, for everyone in this room, and thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm Erwin, I'm an addict.
Hi, Erwin.
And gratitude. Gratitude is, has become like a cornerstone of my recovery. I use gratitude, and sometimes it's real hard to see the gratitude. But I call on it whenever I start sitting in my shit, whenever I start feeling sorry for myself, whenever I think that I have it real bad. It's real important for me to remember where I came from. It's what keeps me clean. I don't have to fight too much with desire to use drugs today because I have a real strong remembrance of where I came from, and I think that that I had to stay where I was for as many years as I did so that that I wouldn't forget it. I came into these rooms, and a year ago I didn't know these rooms existed, and I didn't know there was any hope, and I identified with the desperation you talked about, because every night I said I was using up what I had because I wasn't copping the next day. And every morning I was there at 7 o'clock copping. And it went on and on and on. And I'm grateful that I can be honest with myself. I'm grateful for what I have left. I'm grateful that my my family still you know, respects me again. I'm grateful that I respect myself. I mean, I love NA, and I will always be indebted to NA. When I wasn't accepting myself, there were strangers who accepted me. There are people that I don't know anything about them except that they have an addiction like I do, a disease like I do, and they accepted me for what I am. I have a brother who's a doctor who loves me very much and knows what I went through and tells me, well, it's over now, because he really doesn't understand. And I have strangers who really understand, and I understand what they've been through. And, you know, I just, the unconditional love, and the belief, other people believing in me and telling me that I could make it. That's what saved me. And, you know, the hope is in the rooms. That's what's the most amazing thing. I latched on to that hope, and I have it in me now. And that's the only thing I can say to anyone is gratitude. When this despair sets in, or you feel that you're up against it, or you can't, I remember that desperation. I remember sitting there saying, what the fuck am I going to do now? Where can I go from here? I've blown it all. That's it. There's no end to it. I mean, and it wasn't true. I didn't believe that I could make it. And the people in the rooms did, and now I know I could make it. And that's the thing that I have to give back. It's my responsibility to give it back. It's for other people to tell them this hope and to be there like they were for me. There's nothing else I can give back. You can't buy what I got in these rooms. It's helping me with an attitude problem and with a way of life and the steps. It's much bigger than just my addiction now. It's, you know, I hope I can pass it on to my kids and to other people that there is hope against anything. And there's always a way. There's always there's an escape route all the time. And to fight back against it and to go through and to have a little bit of belief and hope in yourself. And every time I get down, I just say, well, I broke the chain of addiction for today. I mean, I couldn't do that. I was so sure. But I never tried. I just never really tried. And you just can't give up. You just got to believe in yourself. And if you can't, then you go to the rooms and, like, was kicked out here. Not to stuff anything. No one ever taught me that. No one ever taught me about self-awareness. I learned it in the room. Why am I feeling like I am? And that's what will keep me clean. I'm plugged into the program, and I make a lot of meetings, and I need that. And if I need it forever, I mean, I got tremendous rewards. It's a meeting to me at the end of the day is like the cherry on a sundae, man. It's not a have to. It's something I really look forward to, because I know it's there at the end of the day. That's my reward for staying clean. And someone shared earlier, I always feel better after a meeting. I've never nodded out in a meeting or felt I was bored or anything. And that's real unusual, because I used to fall off chairs in meetings. And it's there for everyone if they want it. Thanks a lot for letting me share.
Love it. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen, for sharing.
Quiet, Joseph. Gratitude, you know? I feel so grateful right now. I don't even believe I'm sitting at a convention in New Jersey, you know? It's really blowing my mind. But I know one thing, you know, like without this fellowship, you know, I wouldn't be alive today. I wouldn't be sitting here. And I kind of got in touch with that this past week. I got a phone call saying someone that I used to, you know, hang around with was in jail, and like brought back a lot of, you know, old feelings like from the past, you know. And I was driving in my car and I was thinking, and I'm saying, wow, you know, it's such a miracle that like my life is so different than how it was before I came around these rooms, you know. It's like really amazing. And sometimes I try, you know, I sit back and I think, I say, wow, you know, I'm really clean, you know, and I'm really living a productive life. I'm a responsible, productive member of society today, you know, and it's just amazing. And this fellowship, you know, means so much to me. I went through a period of time in my recovery where I didn't go to a meeting for about a month, maybe 2 months. I don't know how the heck I stay clean. But, you know, I realized when I first went back, you know, to a meeting, and I walked in the room, and they asked me to read Who's an Addict. You know, I felt like, whew, like this is where I belong, you know, like this is my home. And, you know, gratitude to me is by, you know, being involved with the fellowship, and I don't know, it's just like this fellowship is my life, you know, I owe my life to this fellowship. And, you know, I believe, you know, this, what other people had said, it doesn't matter how much time you have, you know, keep on coming to meetings, and we have to be there for the newcomer too. You know, and I see that a lot. There's so many newcomers, so many people, you know, coming in. And, you know, our gratitude speaks when we spend time with the newcomer. And myself, you know, I kind of like drifted away from that for a while, you know, like staying after the meeting and talking to the newcomer and coming early, you know, making coffee, putting out the literature. And maybe just about 3 weeks ago, I did that for the first time, like in months. I stayed after and, you know, I came early. I was like the first one there, set up all the literature and everything. I felt really good. You know, it's really good to feel a part of something. And, you know, we're just really fortunate to have this program. We really are, and have people that really care. You know, I never had that before. And, you know, I went through, you know, a hard time. My first year of recovery, you know, I went through a hell of a lot of changes. And, you know, it took me to lose somebody in this fellowship that I really cared a lot about to let me realize how strong and how powerful this fellowship is and the love that's in these rooms. You know, it just blows my mind sometimes. It really does. Because I can really care about people today. I can really care about people today. And I have people that care about me, and that's something really special. There's so many positive things going on in my life. You know, that's what I'm trying to focus on today. Concentrate on the positive things, you know? Like if something's not going my way or something goes, you know, wrong during my day, to try to look at what good things are going on in my life. And the basic thing that, you know, I have today is today I didn't use. And that's a successful day. You know, it says that in our basic text. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past, you know, where we've been, and I don't care what anybody's done or where they've been or anything. You know, it's all about what we're doing today, you know, and the steps. And the steps free us, you know, from our past and help us live in today. And it's really exciting, you know, it's really exciting to me to, I'm starting to feel that difference now a little bit. And, I just, sometimes you just can't even put things into words, you know, but I don't feel like I'm sitting here in New Jersey at a convention. I don't know. It's just like blowing my mind, and it feels so good. I've learned so much being involved, like with this convention and service work. And that's how I show my gratitude today, by being involved in the fellowship, you know, having a commitment at the group level, making newcomers feel welcome, you know. And I'm just really glad to feel part of this. And this is my home, and this is my family. It's really special. You know, I grew up and I always felt cheated because I didn't have a big family with cousins and nephews and aunts and uncles. And, you know, now I have the biggest family. I have a worldwide family. You know, I can go anywhere, any state, you know, not tons of countries. It's, keep it realistic here, you know. Many countries, almost anywhere you can go and find a meeting, you know, and people that are in the fellowship and people that I can talk to. And to all my family, you know, we're all here for the same reason. And if we're clean today, we're recovering. And it's a successful day. And, that's all I have to share.
Love you.
My name's Elaine, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, everybody. I feel really wonderful today. I had a definitely shitty day today at work. Anyway, it was really crappy. I work with a bunch of addicts. I work in the trades. I'm an air conditioning refrigeration person, and I work with a bunch of speed freaks like what I used to be, and it's hard dealing with them all the time. But I had to learn how to change my attitude. I learned a lot in this program. That's what I'm grateful for, that I'm still teachable, that I'm still able to learn. And, like for instance, you know, I lost my temper. And before, when I would lose my temper, I'd just freak out all over the place and hold a grudge for the longest time. But today I freaked out on this guy and I started screaming and hollering at him because, this refrigerator caught on fire. And, I mean, you know, he just sat there and looked and laughed. And I didn't think it was funny at all because, somebody could have got hurt. And I just went wild on him. And when I